Keep timing.
Yeah.
How about 10, 5, 4, and 1? Does that make sense? Thank you. Cool. Thanks, Jake. All right. My name is Rachel, and I'm a sex, love, and fantasy addict. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm incredibly grateful for this program. What it was like was, well, first of all, let me just say, I spent the meditation tuning into my heart and trying to tune in to the heart of everyone in this room. Because connection is the opposite of addiction. And in my addiction, I was very isolated. I isolated myself. And even when I was with people, I was isolated. I had secrets. And so no one really saw me and knew me. And I didn't understand. I didn't know anything about attachment disorders. I didn't know that what I had was an addiction. I just thought I was an asshole. And so when I finally found this program, I had been in another program for 9 years, and it didn't solve my sex and love addiction. It helped me a lot with some relationships, but coming to this program was a deeper dive for me. And one really important part of how I began to grow in this program was the process of withdrawal. And for me, you know, as the basic text promises, a part of me will have to die, or at least risk dying, so that I can change, so that I can grow and be free of this addiction. And that was true for me. My withdrawal lasted about 10 months. And it felt like something inside of me was screaming and thrashing for 10 months. It was like fighting for its life, you know? And then one day, it was just quiet and peaceful inside, you know? And I didn't just go to meetings. I got a sponsor right away, and I started working the steps. And working the steps in this program and doing withdrawal was a powerful, powerful process that brought me back to myself. My life in active addiction was one long saga of devaluing myself, endangering myself, abandoning myself. It was all just self-harm, right? And I was powerless. I was powerless, you know. In my addiction, there was compulsive cheating, you know, and I didn't know why I was doing that, and I didn't know how to stop. You know, I just needed so much outside validation and approval. I needed everyone to like me. And you know, that's not really totally gone today. Like, I'm struggling a little bit because I had to come here with no makeup on. And I don't like that. I don't like being this naked. It's very vulnerable for me to let you see my face. Just see my face, right? And I have to be honest, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. This is actually like, a really loving room for me. Yeah, it doesn't get any prettier when I cry either. which I do a lot. I did a lot of crying in this program. I had to grieve, I had to mourn, I had to let go of my old self. I had to grieve behaviors that didn't serve me anymore. And, you know, I really want to welcome the newcomers and let you know that you're not alone. And that this is a hard program. That's real. Withdrawal is gnarly. That's real. And you can get through it. And the topic that I want to talk about today is personal worth and dignity. That's not something that I knew the meaning of before this program. And, you know, you've probably heard this before, but if you want what they have, do what they did, you know? And I was willing to go to any lengths when I came here. I was in so much pain, I felt absolutely starved, and I didn't know what I was starved for, and I didn't realize that I'd been starving myself of real intimacy with human beings, you know, because I was hiding all the time. I thought I had to hide who I was, and that love had to be earned. And today I know the meaning of unconditional love, and it's something that I practice giving to myself by sober dating. For me, sober dating is a living amends to myself. You know, it is a practice of choosing myself. It is a practice of valuing myself. It's contrary action for me to not people please, and then to be okay when people aren't pleased, you know? And I had no idea. I was so scared. I was so scared to sober date. I didn't want to do it, you know. I was just so grateful to finally be free of, like, the pain and desperation. I couldn't imagine, you know, what sober dating was for, you know. But it's turned out to be a living amends to myself. And it's true what they say, that anorexia is not to be mistaken for recovery. And I definitely identify, you know, with some avoidance as a sex and love addict that is a part of my disease. 'Cause I like to hide. I'm too scared. And so what I've realized is that, like, it seems scary because in my addiction I was so alone. I didn't have a support system like I have in this program. I think I have like over 100 names in my phone that I can call in this program. I get like 4 outreach calls a day, you know, or I make them, because connection is the opposite of addiction. And I definitely, in my addiction, was trying to get some really essential needs met, right? And I've heard both Russell Brand and Gabor Mate say that addiction is a sincere attempt to solve a real problem. And the real problem was isolation. And I had a real need for validation, you know? I think I judged myself for needing validation, and I judged myself for needing attention. But these are real needs, like, and if they weren't met in childhood, they don't just go away. They manifest. Like, I was unconsciously reliving these patterns in an attempt to get those needs met. And so when I came to this program with the help of fellows and a sponsor and the steps and outreach and all the tools, I've learned how to meet those needs for myself. I have a daily prayer and meditation practice, and there's a type of meditation that I do called Yoga Nidra, and it's basically a body scan. With my attention, I pay attention to my whole body, part by part, finger by finger. I just started to like fill up that God-sized hole for myself. I'm self-supporting by my own contribution. And for 9 years in my other program, I got away with it. I got away with not doing the like dorky affirmations. And I came to this program and I was out of options, you know? Affirmations, and I'll share my favorite affirmation. If you do nothing else, I approve of myself. I love and approve of myself. And I go over that with myself in the mirror. I tell myself that I approve of my choices. I approve of my life. I approve of my face without makeup. I approve of my clothes. I approve of my hair. I approve of myself. I can give that to myself today. And it's a practice. It took a while, you know. So those are two things that like really help shift that issue for me. And for me people pleasing is deadly. You know, in service of people pleasing, I endangered myself. I got myself in a situation where something kind of, you know, like non-consensual happened, you know. And the definition of dignity that I'm beginning to understand is that today I have a choice. I didn't have choices. Before this program, I didn't know how to make a dating plan and use it. I was alone. I didn't know how to choose my own safety. I didn't know how to choose to love myself unconditionally. I do a lot of outside stuff in this program. I know I'm not the only one with some trauma and my addictive behavior, you know, that I traumatized myself, you know, in doing that behavior. And I heal that today by making different choices as I move forward in sober dating. And I have bad news and good news. The goal of sober dating isn't to get in a relationship. The goal of sober dating is to grow spiritually. That's it. That's all you have to do. And today I can acknowledge that as a person with trauma, as a person with attachment trauma, as a sex and love addict, as an addict, I am a vulnerable person. I'm a vulnerable person. It's not appropriate for me to date the way other people date, whatever that means, you know, because I'm responsible for myself, and the first step in taking responsibility for that is acknowledging that I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to trauma bonding. I'm vulnerable to manipulation. I'm vulnerable to addictive behavior. I'm vulnerable to other people's addictive behavior. You know, I use a dating plan to keep myself safe. I use a dating plan to appropriately care for a really vulnerable person. You know, like because I have all that trauma and attachment stuff, I proceed with caution in the dating world. I think it's tough out there. I think it's confusing. And especially for someone who someone in this program, right? Like, sober dating is, I'm completely in the unknown. You know, the old dating, the way I used to do it, it was like I had the script memorized. You know what I mean? I knew exactly how that was going to go. And in sober dating, I don't know how it's going to go. It's all an experiment. And I heard a wise fellow say that sober dating is a guess at God's will for me. And it really is a guess. You know, I get to try it, reason things out with others, make adjustments. Where am I at time-wise? 5 minutes left? Thank you. And I also get to get it wrong. You know, that's been a huge part of my recovery in this program. I get to make mistakes today. That's unconditional, right? I get to still love myself and care for myself, even if I make a mistake, you know? And when I show up in sober dating, like, the person who meets me today is gonna meet a human being, you know? And so I practice things to see how that's gonna go. You know, early on in the process, I practice saying no, because I need to know how that's gonna go. I need to find out if someone is open to no, and if they can receive no, and if it's gonna go well. And if it doesn't go well, then that's not a good fit for me. Like, I need to have boundaries, and I need to be able to say no so that I can say yes when it's the right time, you know? And it's very uncomfortable at first. It's so really, really flying blind, like really in the dark, because I've never, ever, ever done it this way. And like, the more I do it, like each subsequent date or interaction or whatever, I'm practicing esteeming myself. It's incredibly esteemable to sober date and follow the dating plan and even do it imperfectly, you know? 1 minute? Oh, 4 minutes? Oh, thank you. So and I get to lovingly make adjustments for myself. You know, it's not helpful for me to beat myself up for going a little bit off my dating plan, or if like something got away from me, or, you know, if I get hurt. Oh, so this is a big deal. Okay. So in my addiction, my whole strategy was just like never get hurt, right? Which works until it doesn't, right? It just means that I'm not available. I hide myself away. And through working this program, coming to lots and lots of meetings, doing lots and lots of outreach and sober dating, I have learned that it's okay to get hurt. I know that sounds crazy, and I know that, like, we super wish that sober dating and getting sober in this program means that I'll never get hurt again. And that's just not the truth. But it does mean that I'm resourced today. If I get hurt, when I got hurt in the past, I was just, you know, carrying more pain on top of pain, right? I didn't know how to heal that. Today, when I get hurt, I get to reach out to a fellow in this program and say, hey, I'm hurt. I get to be really witnessed and seen and held and listened to and loved unconditionally. And there's some kind of alchemy that happens, you know, when I use the spiritual support of this program, where pain and hurt turn into growth. So this program is magic for me. I'm unrecognizable. from who I was then. And also who I was then, like, it doesn't mean I reject her or I hate her. You know, I love her too. And she pops up now and then. I still see her. But I get to love all parts of me. I get to love the parts of me that are scared to get hurt. I get to love the parts of me that really want to do it the old way. I get to love the parts of me that are joyful and silly and playful today. Oh, and top lines are a huge part of recovery in this program, because I learned how to have joy for myself. That's a huge part of connecting with my higher power and with myself, is top lines, like doing yoga and dancing and playing in the ocean and singing with my band and taking naps and petting my dog. These are all things that make me feel connected. So welcome to the newcomers, and thank you to everyone who does service to this meeting. I hope that that I said something that resonates for you, and if not, go to 6 more meetings. Thank you. Tag pass sharing will now begin. If called on, you are welcome.